ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now. I wish folks could hear what we say off the record.
Well, we'd probably get arrested.
Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, earnings, and yearnings. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, Pedro and I stomp through the week's tech news, and Laurel Holson joins us with a preview of an upcoming story she's written about supermodel Mae Musk. And yes, she is the mother of Elon. But first, some news.
News. Does anyone remember that movie Saturday Night Fever with that young actor?
John Travolta. Yes, John. Yes, it was set in Brooklyn, I believe.
And before it was hipsterized, way before it was hipsterized.
Yeah, it was Bay Ridge was a bit downtrodden, shall we say.
Yes.
And there was copious amounts of polyester and mirrored disco balls.
Seriously, and the highest shoes I've ever seen.
Did you recently see the movie?
No, I just feel kind of like, you know, when John Travolta's walking in the beginning of that movie, like,
oh, the strut to the Bee Gees, yeah.
That is the baddest strut ever. I mean, I know, you know, may he rest in peace, Prince. He had a badass strut.
Yeah.
But that strut, John Travolta was like, and I'm feeling kind of like that.
Yeah, well, and I think that wasn't Saturday Night Fever in 75, so his strut predated anything Prince came along.
Absolutely. Prince was like 12 in 1975 or something like that.
Yeah, but we should pour one out for Prince, though.
It was
horrible news. When that broke last week, I had instantly flashed back to the first time you heard Prince, and I had some friends, and we would drive around in this enormous green Chrysler that someone's dad had given her,
right?
And we'd be going through the back roads of Indiana, just blasting 1999, and you could see with the thump of the bass and just the vocals. You would drive by a sheep farm, the sheep would just take off to the other end of the meadow.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it. We didn't have a lot of sheep meadows in the Bronx, but we kind of sort of did the same thing.
Yeah. You just sort of scared all the winos to the other end of the block.
Wow, that's just mean.
I know. That's
just mean. We're joking, folks.
Yeah, they were enjoying their beverages.
I'm the only wino. Anyway, I guess we should talk about news, and I'm going to keep doing
You're going to keep doing your... Tony Manero?
Yes, I'm feeling good. Swag.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some Bee Gees here tonight.
Oh, I think so. Maybe. We never know.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, those
you got to listen all the way through. I'm going to ask a favor again. I'm sorry to interrupt.
We
got a lot of news to do, and we got Laura Holson waiting in the wings.
Yes.
Sound how professional that was? Waiting in the wings.
Yes, she might even be hanging by one wing at this point. She's been waiting her so long.
Yeah, basically. I'm sorry, Laura. We didn't mean to make you wait that long. Folks, when you're listening to the show, on whatever platform you're listening on, make sure to rate us and review us. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast FM, whatever.
Audio Boom.
Google now. We're on Google Play.
We're
it's official.
Google.
It might not be on their mobile devices, but if you listen to your stuff, and a lot of people still you listen on their desktop.
Yeah.
Rate us on your Apple TV, on your Fire TV, on your Google TV, whatever, any platform. Rate us, review us. We want to keep doing these for you. So please, spread the love or spread the hate if you don't like us. You know,
yeah.
Still, tell people about it. We'll take it. We're grown-ups. Well, some of us.
Yes.
JD is.
Well, you know, I have my moments. But,
yes.
All right. Well, and we thank the listeners who do reach
Yes,
out.
We do. Thank you. Last time I asked, a couple of people posted some really nice things. And, you know, a couple of people posted some really not so nice things. But I appreciate them all.
You like the feedback.
I do indeed.
Yes. Well, let's do some news.
News.
Gets what's going on in the world here this week. Now, if you don't succeed once, try again to get that government approval. This week, the Department of Justice, with conditions, approved the merger of Time Warner Cable and Charter Communications.
They approved it.
They approved it.
Okay.
With conditions.
Ooh.
Charter now is the buyer in this situation. You know, last year it was Comcast trying to buy Time Warner, and that got the kibosh put on it.
Time Warner is the bell of the ball.
I know. Charter lined up for its chance, and the deal breaks down to, I think, $78 billion with the B for the purchase of Time Warner Cable, and then another $10.4 billion for the related Bright House Networks Group, which I think was affiliated with Time Warner. So they're getting that as part of the deal, too, which has some cable subscribers as well. So big, big honking deal here. This new company will be known as New Charter.
New Charter.
And it sounds like the Pilgrims are coming over with
like
their new
boat.
Charter for the new land or whatever. So New Charter will be the name, and they would have to meet conditions set forth by the DOJ and the FCC. that are designed to protect streaming services, the independent ones that are popping up left and right, and also to provide affordable broadband coverage to low-income families. This has been a mission of the FCC for a long time, is to get more people online at speeds that actually make a difference. So those are some of the conditions that were built into the approval. Now, the Justice Department's press release also noted that the agency's own antitrust division filed a civil antitrust lawsuit this week in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia to block the merger.
Whoa.
I think this is an automatic thing that they just to put it through the legal paces. So they have a proposed settlement that, if approved by the court, would resolve the competition harm alleged in the lawsuit, saying that if these two companies that are allowed to come together, they could squash all the competition. They would knock the little streaming services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this would be bad. And so they are filing the suit. So we'll see. But the Consumerist blog took a look at what the merger means and came up with a few salient points to think about. Namely, don't get your hopes up that customer service will get any better, as Time Warner Cable and Charter are not exactly acing those customer satisfaction surveys.
Well, what cable company is?
It's like the airlines, except I think for Virgin Atlantic and JetBlue, which kind of get usually decent marks. You know, everyone hates airlines, too.
And if there is one, they only have like 12 subscribers.
However, thanks to an agreement before the merger even got approved, new Charter cannot slap data caps or usage-based pricing tiers on customers for at least 7 years. And so they, even though they've gained this big chunk of the market, I think it's like 23 million subscribers, mm-hmm. they can't immediately jack up rates. So that's sort of got a little stop put in place.
But for 7 years.
For 7 years, yeah. After that, it's anybody's guess how much you'd be paying for cable. And the Consumerist also points out that the public utility regulators for the state of California have to approve the merger because there's a lot of Time Warner Cable subscribers out there.
Yep.
And the state of California was apparently not real enthused about the Comcast TWC potential marriage, even though they didn't get a chance to debunk it because the deal fell apart higher up. But the state of California does have to weigh in here, too. So all of these things kind of have to happen. So
they're taking like their practice swings on deck right now?
Yeah. They're just okay. Four.
They got that big metal donut on
the Yeah. So they're looking. So these things all have to kind of come together for it. Looks like the thing will probably go forward just because it's got all of this momentum now. But a few things to keep in mind, though, as it happens. But also in TV and video news, the Turner Company, the force behind the Turner Classic Movies cable channel, is teaming up with the Criterion Collection folks for a brand new streaming service called Filmstruck. And as you can imagine, this is a streaming service for cinephiles, the movie lovers, the film buffs who really love the classics and the really rich cinematic narratives.
They're not going to colorize these things, are they?
No, I believe they are keeping them in their original, because these are the purists. Like, this movie was envisioned by the director to be this, and we're going to keep it. They're probably not going to be showing Independence Day 2 or any of your more commercial fare. And this new service promises a wide-ranging and regularly updated library with a mix of contemporary and classic art house flicks, plus indie, foreign, and cult films.
Nice.
So some classy stuff here.
I'm digging this.
Filmstruck will also be the new exclusive streaming home for the Criterion Collection, you know, the people who make the fancy discs with, you know, The Seven Samurai and all of those movies there. And they're going to have their own Criterion Channel, which is a new premium service programmed and curated by the folks who do the Criterion Collections.
All right, I might have to get that.
Yeah, so they haven't announced pricing, and there is just a little thing where you can go and sign up on their website to get information when the service becomes available. So it's basically one of those coming soon kind of things.
So it's a service. It's not a cable channel.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be like a streaming, like a Netflix, except for really classy movies.
I'm almost going to give them a slow clap. But I'm you know, I'm reserving the slow clap.
Wait till you see
you can't just
terms.
Throw out a slow clap for everything.
Yeah, and also, yeah, it's a great service, but if they charge you $50 a month.
Exactly.
Maybe it's great in theory, but not affordable.
Right.
So that's happening. Now, from the Department of Data Breaches, it seems that the Spotify streaming service may have suffered a security incident.
I heard.
As a list with several hundred account credentials from its users turned up on the Pastebin website. Now, while Spotify spokespeople have denied the site was hacked, according to TechCrunch, some actual Spotify users have reported their account emails have been changed to their, you know, where they get their notifications, to email addresses they don't recognize. They've also said that their list of safe songs had been altered with songs that they didn't put on there. So it sounds like somebody may be using some of their credentials. That's still in the being sussed out there. But Spotify says, no, we weren't hacked. That somebody leaked some information that seems to be real out there. and some Spotify customers are reporting that they have been affected by it.
I haven't noticed a difference, but you know what? I'm going to keep an eye on it. Maybe I'll double check.
Yeah, log in, make sure no one has put any suspicious songs on your list.
Well, my kids use the account most of all, so I wouldn't be able to tell anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just going to have to go by the email address and all that. Just make sure everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah, well, you know, what the kids are listening to these days.
Those wacky kids, those zany little ones.
And I think our parents said the same thing about us.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Listening to our Saturday Night Fever.
Crazy
things.
Rock. Saturday Night Fever. A crazy rock and roll.
Yes, with all your synth funk and
yes.
your people dressed in weird clothes
yes.
with high shoes. Yeah.
And big hair. Big
yeah.
hair.
Well, the 80s. I mean, the hair didn't get much bigger than that.
Oh, heck no.
Yes, but also in security news, the Forbes website is reporting that the personal information from 1.1 million members of the beautifulpeople.com dating website is up for sale on the dark corners of the web. Although the data theft was reported last year, the beautifulpeople.com site said the info was just swiped from a test server that wasn't secure, but it wasn't real anyway, so it didn't matter. However, that doesn't appear to be the case because
They
are getting some legitimate data and people's, like, all anything you would put in a dating profile, including certain preferences. Apparently, this stuff is bubbling up for sale in the sort of back alleys of the web.
How dare they do this to beautiful people?
I know. The beautiful people are probably very, very angry.
Yes, they're miffed.
I know. My personal schadenfreude meter is trying not go off the charts here.
I'm going to embrace it.
Yes. Yeah, so those are here on the Dumpy People website.
Yes, exactly.
Laughing at the beautiful people.
Yes, on the Frumpy website.
Yes. So hopefully they'll get that straightened out, though, for the sake of the users.
Of course.
But Amazon is just not having any paid or fake reviews for products on its site. They have sort of spoken out about this before. Yep. They get very angry when people go and put one-star reviews on things that they hate.
They get miffed.
Yes. But the Uber Mega Everything store has filed a lawsuit as of last week against several sites that offer to write glowing reviews for a product, a book or whatever, on Amazon's site. They will write you this glowing five-star review in exchange for a little scratch.
A little monetary compensation.
Yeah, and Amazon's not liking that. They want all of their reviews to be from verified purchasers of said product. They want the customer reviews to be legitimate. They don't want people skewing them in either way. And so they're suing these sites like AmazonReviews.com, we'll get your book up in the rankings.
That's dirty pool.
Yeah.
That ain't nice.
So there go the Amazon lawyers.
Okay.
YouTube has redesigned its mobile apps for Android and iOS with a new focused design that draws your eye right into the videos on the home screen and improved recommendations to keep you watching more videos while you're there. The service also rolled out new 6-second bumper ads to complement rather than replace the current formats that it sells to advertisers. So you, in theory, could see a 6-second bumper and then it goes into a 15-second ad because the bumper is part of some continuing campaign. The thing with the bumpers is, though, you can't skip them. They're only 6 seconds long, so you don't get that skip ad thing. So,
that's really annoying.
Yeah, so you may, bump, 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 regular ad. Oh, and here's the 45-second thing I wanted to watch on YouTube in the first place.
Oh, and don't forget where they pester you to sign up for YouTube Red.
Yes, they're getting just like Apple Music.
Because I love that when it comes up every single time.
Yes, it kind of like in your face.
Yeah. Nah.
Yes, so that's what YouTube's been doing. The one-year anniversary of the Apple Watch was recently observed by many members of the tech press, some of whom did note that sales for the watch were actually better than the iPhone's first year of sales back in the day.
Sorry.
Comparatively, some 12 million watches compared to 6 million iPhones that were sold from 2007 into 2008. While some lamented the fact that they even ponied up the bucks for the expensive digital timepieces, others were hopeful that the next generation of the product would be better. They're hoping for the watch to have its own cellular chip and apps that would actually make it useful.
Be useful,
could be cleaved from having to carry an iPhone around. Because people are saying, well, I got this watch, but it's actually faster for me to take out my phone and just do what I need to do.
Yep.
So that's been sort of the Achilles heel of that. But a year of the Apple Watch. Apple, of course, refused to comment on any speculation about future products, as they always do.
Right.
But the company did have a media moment this week with its quarterly earnings report to investors. Now, although the company knew it was coming, it did have to report its first quarterly loss since 2003, thanks to shrinking iPhone sales. But even with the reduced sales, it took it down 10% year over year. They're not going into the red here.
So the sales dipped.
Yeah, the sales and just their overall earnings came down because iPhones were not selling as
right,
well.
Right.
So they had to report that. They had this streak, I think, for years and years of just increased profits every quarter, and that has stopped now.
Alphabet's still the biggest company in the world, right?
Yeah, I believe they got the biggest valuation. And in one more Apple note, the FBI says it actually knows so little about how that terrorist iPhone was cracked by the third-party company a few weeks ago that the agency says there shouldn't be an internal review to decide if the government should make it tell Apple how they cracked it. Mm-hmm. And like, well, we don't know what happened. We just gave them some money and they opened it, and so you don't need to have a review.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll see if the government buys that. Now, although Facebook tried a standalone camera app a few years ago, only to kill it off due to lack of user interest, the company seems to be trying again, if one is to believe the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Yes, that old fish wrap.
Yeah.
The news outfit says it has sources who say Facebook's friend-sharing team... Sounds kind of kinky.
It does.
I'm on the friend sharing team.
Ooh.
Has developed a prototype for an app that would open up to a camera that users could use to record video and share live streams, as well as snapping your traditional still photo.
Okay, so this is an app that does the Facebook live streams.
Yeah, it would just open up and just record a video. If you want that, you post it immediately. You could open up a live stream just to show what you're doing at the moment, mm-hmm. or you take a regular picture.
We should Facebook Live our thing here.
Yeah,
that
would
be. So people see our fancy studio environments. But you know what? Maybe not today.
You'd have to get one of those bleeper buttons. if we're doing it live,
we'll definitely
edit around.
We will lose our clean tag, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that is, in theory, something Facebook is working on. The Journal does say that its sources have not confirmed that this latest go at a camera app is a done deal. Facebook, you know, may just be testing a prototype for all they know, but they've heard that it's out there. Nokia, which many people forgot existed after Microsoft bought its phone handset business a few years ago, is still actually around. And with that, the Finland-based Nokia announced this week it plans to acquire Withings SA, a company that makes digital health products.
Like scales.
Yeah, blood pressure monitors and wireless gadgets to monitor one's body.
Nice.
So they're kind of moving medical Internet of Things here. They gave their phone stuff to Microsoft, but they still have... A electronics business. They've got all of their 5G wireless stuff going on.
That's
still
right.
A big player in Europe. So,
oh, yeah, they sure are.
So they're jumping on the digital health bandwagon. Speaking of Microsoft, though, that company pushed out a public preview of its new Skype for Business software for the Mac this week. If you are so inclined, you can request an invitation from Microsoft to participate in the preview program.
Back to these invitation things.
Yes, would
Come
you like
on.
To be in the Skype preview?
Please.
Just send us an invite.
Enough.
And have buggy software on your computer for the game.
Oh!
Or it could work perfectly. You never know.
You never know.
But such is the cautionary tale with betas.
Yes, indeed.
SpaceX, which had a successful landing of one of its reusable rocket boosters the other week. We got very excited about that.
Beautiful.
They are lining up for another go. The company plans a launch and a hopeful landing of a Falcon 9 booster rocket on May 3rd. They're going to send up a Japanese communications satellite. Hopefully be able to recreate that nice little landing on the sea platform that they did last week, I believe, the week before.
Yeah, they're feeling froggy now.
Yeah, they're going for it. So SpaceX, as we know, is owned by the real-life Tony Stark, Elon Musk. And if you want to know more about his family and where they came from, stay tuned for our chat with Laura Holson. That's coming up in just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
And finally.
Oh, and finally already?
Well, we've been yapping for a little bit.
Yeah, we actually have.
But, and finally, there's a battle raging at the Unicode Consortium.
Really?
That's the organization behind the standards for converting typed characters and pictographs into code that computers can read. We got very excited when they came up with the bacon
Unicode
character few weeks ago.
Fisticuffs, Donnybrooks?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, they are having, it's more of a war of words. It seems the battle lines have been drawn between academics and scholars who want official Unicode characters for things like, medieval Cornish punctuation. And those who want to create emoji for things like stuffed flatbread sandwiches. Apparently, there's so many time and resources. People have to focus on developing these characters, making sure they're compatible across computer systems.
Flatbread, flatbread, flatbread.
Yeah, whereas the medieval punctuation crowd is very, very upset.
I'm sure
they're writing huge memo. I mean, they're academics, too. They're used to writing persuasive arguments. And
I heard they threatened the other guys with lances.
Lances, there was going to be perhaps a little joust.
Just a little bit.
Someone would get... stabbed with a medieval paragraph mark.
I believe there was a gauntlet or two thrown.
Yeah, it was getting ugly there. They are still working it out.
Yes.
But if you out there in listener land feel strongly about either side of the argument, and we are not taking sides here.
I am flatbread.
Yes. If you feel strongly, you can weigh in financially with the Unicode Consortium's Adopt a Character program to sponsor your favorite Unicode character.
I want to buy the poop emoji.
I think that one has a lot of backers.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. What you can do is you can get money like $500,000 or whatever, and you sponsor a character. I think they gave the example of a fast food chain sponsoring the hamburger emoji or something. Okay. But you
money
out
grab.
There, some
money
people,
grab.
Yeah, some people will sponsor characters from certain languages to sort of be proud of their heritage kind of things. Like, yay, let's get this obscure character from my native language and I'm going to promote that.
The Unicode Consortium is selling out.
Yeah, the Adopt a Character. But all the money that you give helps the nonprofit Unicode Consortium continue its work. So if they have more resources, they can have time maybe for both medieval Cornish punctuation and the corn dog emoji.
And more lances.
They got more lances. And we should see if there are like lances and shields emoji out there too. But
broadswords. They need broadswords.
But apparently the academics were getting quite steamed because the emoji had been getting all the attention. They've even called it Emojigeddon.
Oh, snap.
But BuzzFeed had this story and a very lengthy, and they talked to the scholar guy who was very upset, and he gave them a copy of his 23-page PDF describing all of the medieval punctuation that they had been waiting on as course of their work that they need to have be standardized in Unicode so they can share their research. And he's just not hearing it back because the emoji people are hogging all the bandwidth.
Corn dogs and flatbread. Okay? Come on.
Yeah, you're in the emoji camp, I can tell.
I am in the emoji camp, sorry.
But for anyone out there who would like to adopt a character or learn more about all the things that we talked about on today's news segment, you can find it all at
poptechjam.com.
Up next, Laura Holton's going to join us. Well, as we've been promising for the past 3 weeks, Laura Holson is back with us here in the mighty PopTech Jam studios here. Laura, welcome back.
I'm so sorry. I've missed you guys so much.
I know you've been busy. They've been making you work and you had to do stuff and go around. You know, the day job gets in the way.
I know. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, we're very glad to have you back, and especially because you've brought a preview of another one of your stories. Last time you were here, I believe we talked about the romance novel models, which got a lot of traction online. And you've got another piece on the family Musk, and people always assume it's about Elon, but this one is not, right? Which Musk is this story about?
So this weekend, we're going to have a story about Elon Musk's mother, which she really hates being called that. So from now on, we're just going to call her Mae Musk.
Mae Musk. That's a great name.
Oh, it's a great name. And she is one of the most interesting people I've interviewed. I mean, she's just a real kick in the pants. Do you know her story or how much should I tell you?
I know a little bit just because I read the draft of your story, but the people out there in listener land don't. So can you give us sort of like her TV guide log line bio?
Yeah, completely. So she was born in Canada, and she had like these amazing parents who are real adventurers. And they moved to South Africa when she was very little. And they would travel all over Africa in this plane.
Really?
The whole continent. Yeah, the whole continent. Because, you know, her parents were chiropractors and her mom ran a dance studio. So they had this very unconventional background, but they really loved to travel. So they would take the five kids to the Kalahari Desert.
That's a little more than Lost City. Disneyland.
It's way more than Disneyland. And like she was telling me these wonderful stories about how they were on the plains and then lions would come into their camp. Or I loved this when she said the kids all had to put their sleeping bags over their faces so the hyenas wouldn't eat their faces.
Oof.
Yeah, dog eat dog. Talk about competitive.
Yeah. They don't really tell you that on these sort of pre-canned safaris that you do now. So, by the way, the hyena eat your face.
No, but what's interesting is that she has a background in science.
Okay.
And you can really see that in kind of the whole Musk family. She has a brother who is one of the best spinal guys in the world, I guess, you know, as people tell me.
Yes.
People smarter than me tell me. And of course, you know, she has these interesting children, Elon, Kimball, who is a restaurateur, and then her daughter, Tosca, who's a filmmaker. But what really made me fascinated by her was this notion that at 68 years old, she decided that she wanted to go back into modeling. Because as well as she studied science, she was also a model. She was actually a finalist for the 1969 South African beauty pageant.
So she's got some beauty cred here in the professional beauty industry.
Yeah, she's got beauty cred, but she's got science cred.
Yeah.
Because she's a nutritionist. It's interesting when you look at their family because they're so extremely creative, whether it's filmmaking, whether it's making rockets, whether it's figuring out restaurants.
Battery-powered cars.
Yeah, exactly.
So she had this very long career as a nutritionist. So did she do that and get to retirement age and say, you know, I'm bored, I want to go back into modeling? Or did she say what her motivation was to go back to work basically at 68?
There's a wonderful book that I would suggest anybody who wants to learn about Elon Musk should read. It's by Ashley Vance. And it's a phenomenal book. I mean, he's a former Times colleague and he did a great job kind of explaining their history. But I think for her, she had kind of followed her kids all of her life. Like she went to Canada. Elon, as we all know, he wanted to move to Canada, start his career. He wanted to get to America. So his sister, when they were living in South Africa, he moves to Canada. And then Tosca, the daughter, sells all of the mother's furniture and the house so that all the kids have to move to Canada. So when Elon and Kimball moved to San Francisco, the mother followed.
Well, she didn't have any furniture. I guess she probably wanted some place to sit.
Yeah, but they weren't wealthy. I mean, that's one thing Tosca was talking about their family. When they were talking about the family, she was saying, you know, people think we were rich to begin with, but we weren't. And she had to work. I mean, what's one of the reasons she got multiple masters in dietetics is so she could work. And she modeled so she could work and, like, you know, feed her kids. It wasn't an easy time for them once they left South Africa. And if you know the history of South Africa, it was right at the height of apartheid.
Okay, so this is sort of...
Yeah, 1988.
Yeah, the tumultuous times.
Exactly, 89.
Yeah, they must be a very tight family to move en masse to entirely different countries and continents together and kind of still stay in touch and be kind of integrated. It sounds like they're very tight with each other.
Yeah, they really watch out for each other. I mean, that was probably the most fascinating thing for me because... families that have as many trials as they have over the years can be somewhat fractured. And especially when someone is more wealthy than the others, they can be fractured. And that's not the case. They're really, really protective. May was telling me a story about how they can't even really go out as a family to dinners. They do a lot of family dinners at home because when they go to restaurants, people always come up to Elon. And one of the problems she has, I think, for her is that she's very open and friendly, but a lot of people will come to her and with an idea and say, hey, what do you think about this? What they really want is access to Elon. So
she's had enough of that.
Yeah, she's definitely had enough of that. But I think having followed her family for so many years, at 68, she's striking out on her own. And she has been in, oh my goodness, she's been in New York the past couple of weeks, and she was meeting Diane von Furstenberg, and she was meeting Tina Brown. And
she's flirting with the power players.
Yes. And well, Elon is taking her to the Met Gala. As she explained to me, Anna Wintour called Elon and said, you must come. And so he asked his mother as his date.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. No, so they're a close-knit family. I mean, they seem to really care for one another.
Yeah.
But her history is amazing. And Elon has an interesting history. All the other kids do. But hers, kind of this idea of this adventurer traveler running around Africa, being a model and a scientist. How do you not love that?
Well, it sounds like they're basically the Redgrave family of the arts and sciences. Like everyone in that family has something going on and they're renowned in their fields and still all working.
Even at 68, I love that.
All right. So your story on her will be appearing in the New York Times, that publication some people have heard of. That will be this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be this Sunday. So.
All right. So for anyone out there who would like to read it, we will post a link to the section of the paper, or the website rather, that Laura writes for. So you can easily find the story when it appears online. And perhaps you'll come back soon and either give us a preview or bring us a fun topic to talk about.
Oh, of course. Always. There's always fun topics. I've got a couple things I'm working on. That'll kind of make you all smile.
Ooh, I like that. I got a couple things I'm working on. ...
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we will definitely make this a to be continued.
We got to go.
Time to go.
Time to go. We're done.
Yeah, well, we do have to thank the bros before we get out of here.
We do. Thank you, bros. BuiltByBros.com. Build something with the bros.
Yes, and thanks to all the listeners out there. We wouldn't be here without you.
Absolutely.
And we thank you every week for downloading us.
Yes, indeed.
So until next time, when we're back with more, I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado. How much for the bacon emoji?
Well, I think you can still sponsor it. It's already there. You know, maybe if you want to give the bacon a little money, or maybe you want to develop your own or submit your own character.
I want a Kaiser emoji of just my head.
All right.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, you draw up those plans, and I will adopt that character.
Sounds good.